The 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. Jesus said to his apostles, "Anyone who prefers father or mother to me is not worthy of me. Anyone who prefers son or daughter to me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow in my footsteps is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. Anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and those who welcome me welcome the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will have a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a holy man because he is a holy man will have a holy man's reward. If anyone gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, then I tell you solemnly, he will most certainly not lose his reward."
Continuing the last two Sundays' Gospel readings, Jesus further instructs his apostles. The real enemies of man are men beside demons, and the enemies of the new man, of the Christian, will be his relatives at home, with their complaints, their threats, or their entreaties. But from now on, he who prefers his father and mother to me is not worthy of me. He who prefers his son or daughter to me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross daily, complex as it is, made of resignation, renunciation, obedience, heroism, sorrow, illness, mourning, made of anything that reveals the will of God or a test for man. He who does not take up this cross and does not follow with it in my footsteps is not worthy of me. Anyone who appraises earthly life more than the spiritual one will lose true life. Anyone who loses his earthly life for my sake will find an eternally blissful one. Anyone who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet as a prophet will receive a reward proportionate to the charity offered to the prophet. He who receives a just man because he is just will receive a prize proportionate to the just man. The reason is that he who acknowledges a prophet as such must be a prophet himself, that is, very holy, because he is held in the arms of the Spirit of God. And he who acknowledges a just man as such proves that he is just as well, because like souls know one another. So, each will be given a reward according to justice. And he who has given a glass of pure water to one of my servants, even if he were the least one, and servants of Jesus are all those who preach him through their holy lives, and may be kings or beggars, wise men or people who know nothing, old men and babies, because all ages and all classes can be my disciples. He who has given a disciple of mine even a glass of water in my name, and because he is my disciple, I solemnly tell you that he will not go without a reward. I have finished. Now let us pray and go home. You will leave at dawn as follows: Simon of Jonah with John, Simon Zealot with Judas Iscariot, Andrew with Matthew, James of Alphaeus with Thomas, Philip with James of Zebedee, my brother Judas with Bartholomew. That is for this week. I will let you have new instructions later. let us pray. And they pray in loud voices. Jesus is speaking to some would-be followers at the temple in Jerusalem. He says, to follow me as a disciple means renouncing all affections for just one love, mine. The selfish love for oneself, the guilty love for riches, sensuality or power, the honest love for one's wife, the holy love for one's father and mother, and the deep love for and of children and brothers, these must all yield to my love if one wishes to be mine. I tell you solemnly that my disciples must be more free than birds flying in the sky, more free than winds blowing across the firmament without anyone or anything holding them back. They must be free, with no heavy chains, with no ties of material love, without even the thin cobwebs of the slightest barrier. You can love both God and relatives in a holy manner, safeguarding each love, so that family ties will not be a burden but wings, and not a fault but justice. You must be prepared to hate even your lives in order to follow me. In actual fact, such apparent hatred, which consists in denying sensual satisfaction to one's life in order to give a more and more intense life to the spirit, is love. It is love of the highest degree and the most blessed. To deny oneself base satisfactions, to reject sensual affections, to risk unfair reproaches, criticism and punishment, being rejected, cursed and perhaps persecuted, all that is a sequence of grief. But it is necessary to embrace such grief and take it upon yourselves like a cross or a scaffold on which all past faults are expiated to be justified by God. In this way you can obtain from God every true, mighty, holy grace for those whom we love. He who does not carry his cross and does not follow me cannot be my disciple. After rebuking Peter for disbelieving Jesus' prophecy of his passion and death, Jesus says to him, I have come to be the way, the truth, and the life. I give you the truth through my teaching. I mark out the road. I point it out and level it to you through my sacrifice. But I give life to you through my death. And remember that whoever answers my call and follows me to cooperate in the redemption of the world must be prepared to die to give life to other people. Therefore, whoever wants to follow me must be prepared to deny himself, his old self with its passions, inclinations, customs, traditions and thoughts, and follow me with his new self. Let every man take his cross as I will take mine. He must take it even if it looks too defamatory to him. He must let the weight of his cross crush his human self to free his spiritual self. The cross does not fill the spirit with horror. On the contrary, it is a support and an object of veneration, because the spirit knows and remembers. And let him follow me with his cross. At the end of his life, will an ignominious death be waiting for him as it is waiting for me? It does not matter. He must not grieve over that. On the contrary, let him rejoice, because the ignominy of the earth will change into a great glory in heaven, whereas it would be dishonourable to behave in a cowardly way in front of spiritual heroism. You always state that you are prepared to follow me and face death with me. Follow me then, and I will lead you to the kingdom along a hard but holy, glorious road, at the end of which you will attain the immutable life forever. That is to live. To follow instead the ways of the world and of the flesh is to die. So he who wants to save his life on the earth will lose it, whereas he who loses his life on the earth for my sake and for the sake of my gospel will save it. But remember, of what avail will it be for man to conquer the whole world if he loses his soul? Jesus is speaking to the people from Gibeon, from the terrace of a house adjacent to the synagogue. He tells them not to miss any opportunity to do good work. He says, "Good actions are always active, even if they seem to have gone by. At least their remembrance may rise again from the depth of a downcast soul and provoke regret for the time when one was good." Regret is often the first step on the way back to justice. I have said that even a chalice of water given with love to a thirsty person will not remain without reward. A drop of water is nothing with regard to its material value, but charity makes it great, and it will not remain without reward. At times, the reward may be a return to goodness, which is roused by the remembrance of that act, of the words of the thirsty brother, of the feelings of one's heart at that time, and of the heart that offered a drink in the name of God and out of love. And so God, through a series of recollections, comes back like the sun that rises after a dark night. And he shines on the horizon of a poor heart that had lost him, but, fascinated by his ineffable presence, humbles itself and cries, "Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. I love you once again." The wisdom book ought to be a code of spiritual life. Like a motherly hand, it should guide you and lead you to a perfect knowledge of virtue and of my doctrine. The spirit of wisdom is the spirit of God. Seek holy wisdom first of all, and I tell you, everything else will be given to you. And it will be given in such a way that none of the mighty ones of the world can achieve so much. Love God. Be anxious only to love him. Love your neighbour to honour God. Devote yourselves to the service of God, to his triumph in men's hearts. Convert to the Lord those who are not God's friends. Be holy. Store up holy works as a defence against possible failings. Be faithful to the Lord. Do not criticise either the living or the dead, but strive to imitate good people, not for your own earthly joy, but to give joy to God. Ask graces of the Lord, and they will be given to you. Jesus speaks of the time when he was carrying his cross, and a Roman soldier showed him compassion. "I was dying of thirst. I had nothing but a temperature and pain. My blood had already been shed in Gethsemane, drawn by the grief of being betrayed, forsaken, denied, beaten, overwhelmed by the infinite sins and by God's severity. And it had been shed in the praetorium. Who thought of giving me a drop of water for my parched throat? A hand of Israel? No. The pity of a heathen. The same hand that, by an eternal decree, opened my chest to show that my heart already had a mortal wound. A heathen. For the unknown one, a heathen found the pity that my people had denied me. In heaven he will find the sip he gave me. It did not quench my thirst, but it relieved my dejection. That is why I took that ignored sip, to draw to me him who was already inclined towards good. May he be blessed by the Father for his pity.